Well, hello everyone, it's Morgan Harper Nichols here, and I want to give a content warning for today's episode. We are talking about eating disorders and depression, and I will put links in the show notes if you need help and support, including immediate help and support. My guest today is Joanna Candle, who is the founder and CEO of the Alliance of Eating Disorders Awareness and the author of Life Beyond Your Eating Disorder. And today we're talking about getting help, getting support, and finding hope. And before we begin, I would just like to read a poem that actually started this whole thing of what I do. I haven't read it in a while, and today just felt like a good day to read it. When you start to feel like things should have been better this year, remember the mountains and valleys that got you here. They are not accidents, and those moments weren't in vain. You are not the same. You have grown and you are growing. You are breathing, you are living. You are wrapped in endless, boundless grace. And things will get better. There is more to you than yesterday. And now I would like to invite you to take a moment to take a deep breath. And now for my conversation with Joanna Candle. So, Joanna, I would love to know, what does your daily life look like these days?
Very long and very exhausting, I will tell you. I typically wake up a little earlier than my four-year-old little nugget wakes up, just to have a little bit of me time to honestly do a little bit of doom scrolling, if you will, to get me started in the morning. And then, you know, it's really this mix of getting myself together, getting my daughter together, getting her off to her teacher's house. We have an abridged version of school these days to keep her safe, to keep us safe. And then I get to come into the Alliance. And I say this all the time. I really have the best job in the world. I get to work with the best people I know. And for me, I spend, you know, typically about 9 hours in our office. And then I go home and, you know, then it's dinner time and homework time. And then 4 days a week, I also run, co-facilitate our virtual eating disorder support groups. And then there's some really bad television watching in all of that too.
Yes, it definitely sounds like you have a full schedule. Would you consider yourself a high energy person?
Oh, absolutely. I think I definitely have a lot of energy until a certain time where then I just completely turn off. I would say maybe 6 out of 7 nights out of the week, I fall asleep sitting up on the couch, which my husband all the time is like, please just go to bed. And I'm like, no, I need to have like a break between like life and sleeping.
Yeah.
But I have a passion that gives me the energy to show up, I think.
Yeah. I love that because I think that we all have these different things that fuel the work that we do. And sometimes we don't even always know on a conscious level. And you said something that I think is very interesting. You talked about, you know, early in the day, you know, being online, you know, looking at things on the internet, social media or whatever. And I find that fascinating because I do something similar, and I'm wondering if you have, I know we do different work, but I'm wondering if we have this in common, where in a way, sometimes looking at what's going on in the world, it kind of helps you remember why you do what you do.
So true. Absolutely. You know, for me, I keep my mission, my purpose really close to my heart. And it really is my North Star of how I navigate through my life, through my day. And you know what? Sometimes, I mean, some of the things I look at is sheer bubblegum for my brain, just fun stuff. Of course, you're one of the first pages I always go to. I have to say that. And it seems to always, you always seems to say something that gets me going. And then sometimes it's responding to people that have reached out overnight, connecting them, you know, to people on my team that can help them, but absolutely to motivate. And, you know, I also like to read what's going on in the world as well, just so that I have some knowledge about just what's going on, you know?
Absolutely. And I love that you're so involved. I love that you, you started the Alliance for Eating Disorder, and the fact that you just said, you know, responding to someone who sent a message over the night and connecting with them, the right person, like that whole sentence right there says so much. I think about you in such a beautiful way, because, you know, I think sometimes when we start something, even if it's something we're very passionate about, like there's so much involved. I don't know if you've had this experience, but it takes a lot. It takes time and preparation to like stay involved, like with the people, and to actually look at the emails, look at the DMs. And I just love that you do that. So would you say that, you know, is that kind of like a pillar for you? Just something of like being in that one-on-one contact with people?
Absolutely. And I will tell you, I think there has been so many beautiful silver linings to a really terrible situation being 2020 and the pandemic. You know, I started this organization because I nearly lost my life several times through my struggle with my eating disorder. And I started the Alliance to give back, to make a difference, to speak to that seventh grade, 12-year-old me who felt like I didn't deserve to take up space or be seen or be heard. And so that's really why I founded the organization. And over time, as you know, as you start building something, the bigger and bigger it gets, the more removed you are from the heart of it, because you have to run the ship. You have to drive the ship. And so over the last few years of the organization, I was doing more and more administrative stuff to growth stuff and less of the direct contact. Mm-hmm. And what 2020 allowed me to do, and I say this truthfully, is allowed me to, not that I've never fallen out of love, but I am so hopelessly in love with our organization and the work that we do, because I've been able to do the virtual groups. I've been able to do more of the one-on-one. And I will share with you that for me, I will never lose that, because that is why I show up every day, so that I can help other people on their journeys, so that they know that they're not alone, that they're not the exception to the rule, that they do deserve access to care, and that there is life beyond eating disorders. And it's not utopia. You don't recover to utopia. You recover to life. It's not sunshine, bunnies, and rainbows. But my very worst day on this side in recovery is so much better than my best day in my eating disorder. And so being able to connect and to stay very much in that space is humbling, and it's also inspiring and fueling for me.
Yes. And I hear so much conviction in what you shared, and I'm just grateful for you sharing your story, and not only, you know, just us here on the podcast, but also just with the work that you do. Cause like you said, it can be, I have moments like that too, where I don't think I necessarily forget about my story, but it kind of gets into the background a little bit. And then it's just like, oh, wait a second. Like, I was once a 14-year-old who, if I had had social media the way kids have it these days, like I would have been scrolling through just incredibly depressed and feeling alone. And I have to remind myself of, oh, wait a second. That's why I'm doing this. Like, it doesn't matter if it gets 3 likes or if it's something that people forget about tomorrow. Like it matters for that person right now. So you touched on something a little bit that I actually want to ask you about, was specifically related to the pandemic. And I was just curious about, you know, what shifts have you seen just in your interaction with people? You know, I do you feel like it's been more challenging for people to kind of get support and help in recovery during this process?
So unfortunately, when the pandemic first started, I had this feeling, and I was talking about it with our amazing clinical director, that, you know, if we would have to physically distance and socially isolate, we would definitely see higher levels of acuity with eating disorders, of just symptomatology. And we have seen that. I don't think that there's a single person that lives in our world right now that hasn't felt higher levels of anxiety, possibly depression, just overwhelming feelings of anxiousness, of not knowing. And as someone who has had an eating disorder, who very much likes control and likes to know, as many people that experience eating disorders, you know, often experience as well, this feeling of not knowing of how long this is going to happen. Also with all of these different other factors of not being able to see, you know, your team, your clinical team, if you need to, of not being able to, you know, be in person with your supports, we knew that that was going to have an impact. And on the flip side of that, something that has been unbelievable that's happened is all of these virtual services have popped up. You know, definitely, I mean, we went from a Friday afternoon, we have 21 in-person free clinician-led support groups across the country. From Friday to Monday, we had to shift really quickly of, all right, so how are we going to make this an opportunity for people to get support in time where they probably need it more than ever? So we've definitely moved our services virtual. There's so many different opportunities for people to get, you know, help virtually, support virtually. So I do think that even with the implications of, you know, hey, you have to be physically distanced, you don't have to be socially isolated, and there can still be connection, there can still be support, there can still be resources.
Yes. And I don't think that could be said enough because it's so easy to feel isolated. And especially if you are struggling and if you don't have people in your physical house that you can talk to, it can feel very, very helpless. So I, you know, I appreciate like the creativity that you all are, that you're really tapping into to figure out ways to make sure people are supported. What would you say is probably one of the most misunderstood things about people who are going through this journey, who are struggling with an eating disorder and that process? What would you say is one of the most misunderstood things?
I think I would have to say two different things, because for me, they're at the top of my list. One, that eating disorders are disorders of choice, that they're diseases of vanity. They're not. Eating disorders are biopsychosocial illnesses that are genetic in nature. I will tell you, just like everyone else that I have spoken to, and I've had the honor and the blessing to speak to a lot of people over the years, is that I never woke up one morning, looked out my window in South Florida and said, it's a beautiful day, I think I'm going to have anorexia nervosa today. That was never, ever part of the arsenal. For me, it was that perfect storm that came together. Eating disorders run in my family. I've had anxiety my entire life. I was a people pleaser, perfectionist. And on top of it, I was a ballet dancer. So all of that came together to create a perfect storm. So that would be my, one of my biggest, you know, myths. The other myths is who eating disorders affect and what they look like. You know, unfortunately, still in 2021, we have this archaic stereotype that, you know, it's just female or those who identify as female, Caucasian, upper to middle class, younger. And that's not true. Eating disorders do not discriminate between age, gender, race, class, you know, sexual orientation, body shape, and size. And I believe that because of that, there are so many individuals that are not getting intervention and not getting access to care. So that's really, for me, what gets me up in the morning, like we talked about our days, is to eradicate these very dangerous stereotypes, because people are dying. They're dying every 52 minutes in this country as a direct result of their eating disorder.
Thank you for naming that. It is a very complex issue that does affect a lot of people. And that was actually something I put a note about, because you on the Alliance Instagram, you shared a post yesterday that said, sharing my recovery from an eating disorder as a woman of color has revealed to me that my story matters. My voice matters. My experience matters. This is something new to me, and it was possible because of recovery. And that, and I hope I'm saying her name is pronouncing it correctly, Julissa Manaya, possibly.
Yes.
Yeah, and just seeing that, I just looked at that and I said, I'm just so glad that that was named, because I do think that it is so important that, I mean, of course, we don't want anyone to go through this, but it is also important for people to see, like, oh, wait, I'm not the only one that looks like me going through this, because that I feel like that brings up an interesting point. Because it's like, if you're looking around that room and you're just like, nobody looks like me, like, how can I even share my story? How can I even feel supported when their life experience is just so different from mine, even though we may have this in common? So yeah, I would just love to know, you know, what advice would you give to someone who recognizes or is getting to a point maybe where they're like, okay, maybe I need help.
Yeah.
But I'm so scared. Like, I don't know where to start. I don't know who to talk to. Like,
yeah.
What advice would you give to that person?
Yeah. And I just want to say thank you for sharing what you just did. And I think that it comes down to the fact that, you know, representation matters. And I think that that's, you know, that's such the beauty. And I think, again, like, I don't want to really harp on this, on the silver linings, but I really do go back to silver linings, because for me, that's like the fuel that fills up my cup to keep on moving every morning, is that, you know, is that when you come on to one of our groups, is that you see all people, all humans. And we are a nonprofit organization that supports all humans with eating disorders, not a select few, because all humans can develop an eating disorder, and we need to show up for all folks and make sure that all individuals are supported. As far as if you are experiencing an eating disorder, first, I want you to know that you are not alone, that you did not choose this, and that it's not up to you to have the willpower to get better. These are serious mental illness, and that, and people don't know that. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just saying to validate that you don't need to fix this on your own. I think so many of us believe, I think with all mental health, that because it's above the neck, that we should be able to fix it on our own. It's like telling someone with diabetes, hey, you need to fix your blood sugar without insulin. It's not okay for individuals that are experiencing mental illness or eating disorders to feel that they need to do that. Know that there is help, that there is hope, that recovery is possible. Please reach out to the Alliance. We have the largest and inclusive referral database in the country for all levels of care for eating disorders. We can find you specialists, and it's really important to go to a clinician that specializes in the treatment of eating disorders, because it's all encompassing, because eating disorders are not about the food. It's not about, you know, restricting or binging and purging or compulsively overeating. It's about everything that's underneath. It's like the eating disorder is the tip of the iceberg. It's about the depression, the anxiety, the trauma, everything that co-occurs with it. I will also share with you something that I held on for so long, that I was the exception to the rule, that other people could recover. But not me. And I could talk the talk and walk the walk and be everyone else's cheerleader. But when it came to me, the bottom was I felt like I didn't deserve. And the crappy committee between my ears kept on telling me this narrative that maybe for everyone else, but not for me. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. So if you are listening, if you are experiencing an eating disorder, you don't have to do this alone. You don't have to live this way. There are people and places that can help you, and we will do everything in our power to connect you to those places and folks.
That's so good. That's so good. And I love the step-by-step that you offered and just making it accessible. And I think that that's one of the many gifts of the internet for all of the things that's not good about it. The fact that you know, I don't want to say like help is a click away, but it can literally start with just that. And, you know, I think about those of us who grew up where, you know, we didn't have access to the internet like we do today. You know, I just want to remind myself and remind everyone of, like, if we're going to use this thing called the internet, like, let's use it to help people. Like, let's use it to look out for each other. So have you had any moments, especially over the past year, that just made you just so grateful? Any stories that just make you so grateful for being able to do this work that you do?
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. I will tell you that we're averaging around 90 people, every virtual group. And to me, it's connection. It really is. And I know that that's so much of what we've talked about today. When I founded the organization, what I wanted or what I used to dream about was to be in a space where people spoke my language, where I felt seen and heard, and for someone that was sitting next to me to say, me too. Because so much of this illness is cloaked in stigma and covered in shame and darkness and isolation. And I think when you bring light to an issue, when you make it okay to have conversations and get into spaces where, you know, you feel this commonality, you feel that you're not alone, it gives you this opportunity to move forward. And sitting back and seeing individuals support each other that would have never met. And what's been so beautiful about this opportunity is we're offering care and support to individuals that would have never had it had this not happened. So people that live in care deserts, we have this amazing human who's a transgender male. He lives in Saudi Arabia. He's not able to live as a transgender male in his country. And he signs on every single time and comes to group where he's seen and heard and validated and where people, other people support him, they embrace him. That is that moment. And then on a personal note, I typically travel a lot during the year. I speak, I go to places across the country. I have a lot of privilege with that. And being able to put my daughter to bed 5 out of 7 nights has been such a gift because she was 3 weeks old when I first left, you know, on my first trip back, and being able to do that every night has been just beyond. She fills my heart in ways that, you know, and for me, my daughter represents so much because for 20 years, I was told I couldn't have kids because of the ramifications of my eating disorder. And she is my miracle baby. And she came out of nowhere. And every time I look at her big eyes. And to me, she is the essence of the fact I went to hell and back and I clawed my way through the journey of recovery. And there is not a moment that I don't regret how hard it was because my recovery gave me her and my recovery gave me this organization and has given me opportunities to be in places with extraordinary humans like you. So I think that's really been the highlight for me.
Wow. Whew. You know, there's just so much that is just so easily taken for granted. And just hearing what you've shared, it's just a reminder of like, wow, we really do need each other and we need our people, whether they are across the world or in our house. We need each other more than ever. And that's just such a hopeful idea, hopeful thought in a time where hope feels far away. It's, you know, I like to think of hope a lot like threads, you know, it's like, sometimes it feels like a full tapestry, but sometimes it just feels like little threads that we're all pulling on to hold each other together in this. And for me, and we're talking a little bit about this before we started the podcast, for me, one of those threads is definitely art, and art in all of its form, whether it's music, poetry, visual art. So I would love to know, and you can answer this either, any way you want, whether personally or just as an organization, what role does art play in this recovery journey? And yeah.
I think that for many of us, we don't have voices when we are experiencing an eating disorder. I know that I lost my voice for so long. And the way that so many of us find our voice is through the art of writing or through, you know, drawing or coloring or whatever it is. It gives us this outlet. And typically what I've seen, I know that for me personally, I was able to use my voice through art before I was able to use my voice through words. It's a lot safer, it seems, for me and for a lot of individuals that I've spoken with. I'm so grateful that it's there. I'm so grateful that it's a, you know, and it's such an important part of the journey to recovery that so many treatment programs across the country incorporate art therapy because they know of the strength of the power. of the spoken and unspoken word, and how it gives you this platform and opportunity to say and reveal the things you might not be able to vocalize as of yet, but it just makes it so much easier to get it out.
Wow, that's so well said. And I'm grateful for the ways that you've incorporated art, and you were just sharing with me, even just with my poetry. And that was just so humbling for me to hear, because I think a lot of times, because we live in a time where art has become very commercialized and it's become very much so a business in a lot of ways, we forget about like the actual deeper spiritual healing components that it has, and the ability that it has to help someone feel seen and to connect with someone who may not even feel safe to share their voice. And, you know, again, because you literally have people, I think about this all the time, you have people who are in a house where they don't feel safe to ask for help and ask for support. And art is one of those tools that can really bridge that gap to help that person go and seek help, even if it's just online. So I appreciate you saying that. And there's just so much, just so much hope in what you're sharing. And I know that comes from a lived experience, a story that you've walked through, and I can really feel your heart in that. So one thing I just want to ask before we end this section is, what does it mean for you to find peace in the work you do?
I think for me, it comes back to when, you know, day in and day out, I will not sugarcoat and say that the work that I do is easy. It's not. You know, for me, things like, you know, treatment being a necessity, and unfortunately, oftentimes it feels like a privilege in the society we live in, the world that we live in. And, you know, when you get calls from individuals across the country and you can't help them, you have a team of people that are working and trying, and you can't help them, it can be soul crushing. And, you know, we absolutely do work with an illness that is very serious, very dangerous. Where I find peace is in these moments where, and it's bringing it back to actually what you just said about art, is when someone will send me one of your posts and say, "This is how I feel right now, and I'm okay in this moment." That's peace. That is beyond any dollar in the bank. It's beyond any award that you can be given, is to know that you have had an impact, no matter small, on someone else's journey. For me, the peace comes with knowing that all the struggle I went through, all the hell that I went through, is somehow validated. And to say, I went through what I went through, to be able to have the tools and experience to say, it's okay to feel like crap. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay if you don't have the words, but you can send me an image. But in this moment, you're okay. It makes all the rough days okay. It makes all the rough years, all the rough moments okay. Definitely not like not validating those times, but just making it that much more okay to be where you are, and this amount of peace to know that in this moment, it's all right. And good enough is good enough right now.
Thank you for that poem that you just spoke. That was just so beautiful and so well said. And again, I know that we just met, but I know that it comes from an honest place of having walked through that and knowing how important that is. So thank you for taking the time to share and to just really bring, for me, just this conversation that's just brought, it just brought me back to the ground. Cause you know, you said earlier, you know, a lot of times when it comes to what's over, you know, what's above our neck, we feel like we should be able to fix it on our own. And I get in my head so much. And, you know, when you just said that someone shared one of my poems and said, "This is how I feel," I was like, oh, wait a second. Like, okay. Like, this is why I do what I do. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, if something is as successful as I thought it should be or whatever, it's like, no, none of that stuff. Like, that is not the important stuff. What matters is connection and being able to continue to remind one another that we are not alone in this. So thank you again and again for joining me today.
No, thank you so much. And I just, you know, I think there would be a lot of people that would be very sad if I didn't share just what a gift you are. And thank you for being a voice to the voiceless and helping us find our voice until we can really step into our own and really embrace it. You know, I will say, like, my go-to gift for everyone is All Along You Were Blooming. Like, I give it to everyone, and I you know, and I will just say that, you know, it really sucks when you feel like you're alone. And sometimes it's just one thing that makes a difference. And thank you for being that one thing for a lot of us. So we think you're amazing. and just thank you.
Wow. I am just completely humbled and everything that you're saying. So thank you. That just gives me so much encouragement and motivation to even get through the rest of this day. And yes, thank you again. So before we go, I just had like some fun rapid fire questions.
I like it. Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Morning person or night person?
Totally a morning person.
Introvert or extrovert?
Matters on the situation.
Name five things in the room you are currently in.
Okay, your book. That's one. a picture of my daughter, my cell phone, my amazing co-staff member and family member by choice, Lori. And my coffee, because I don't go anywhere without coffee.
Right there with you. Do you have a favorite scent?
I would say lavender at the current moment.
I'm with you on that, actually. Yes, yes. And what is the best takeout in your city? And if you don't do takeout, what is your favorite quick meal?
Okay, considering I do not cook and I have no idea why I even have a kitchen, favorite takeout of the moment would have to be our sushi restaurant a few doors down from our office, without a doubt, has gotten me through 2020.
That sounds amazing. And finally, where do you go to take a deep breath and just relax?
In non-COVID times, I would say TJ Maxx is my place. And during, and in all seriousness, it's the beach. I actually am not a huge fan of the sun, but there's something very magical about the water, and being on the sand. And I definitely have the privilege of living in Southeast Florida. So the beach is very close. Water has always been very healing for me. And even just walking along the water or even sitting and watching the water has always been a place that brings me back.
Yes, I love that. Well, thank you so much again for joining me today. This has been such a fulfilling conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for everything.
Thank you so much to Joanna for joining me today. And if you would like to follow and support the work that Alliance for Eating Disorders does, you can find their website and their Instagram and Facebook in the show notes. And this February, they are actually planning their first ever Not One More Weekend, which takes place February 26th through 28th. It is a virtual 3-day event focusing on the Alliance's pillars, health, support, and recovery. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I will see you here tomorrow.